This is a podcast from Real Life Sango in Clarksville, Tennessee. Thank you for being a part of our growing online community. We hope that you'll soon be able to join us on a Sunday morning, but in the meantime, you can text prayer request by texting the word prayer to 931-378-6778. And you can make a financial investment by texting any amount to 84321 or going to reallifesango.com/give. Now, enjoy the podcast.
Amen. Give it up for the Lord. Amen. Well, in the late 1980s and the early 1990s, the NBA basketball team, Chicago Bulls, were hot. All eyes were on the legendary Michael Jordan. And, okay, all right. That woke somebody up this morning. And, you know, the Bulls were kind of famous for starting every game by huddling up and saying the Lord's Prayer. Do you remember that? Before every game, huddle up, all hands in, and they're praying. And that just began to translate kind of into every high school sports team around the country. And so my high school baseball team was no different. We would huddle up before the game, all hands in, and everybody would pray the Lord's Prayer. And then we'd go into the game, and all the guys would cuss all day long like a sailor. You know what I mean? And I'd be like, wait a second. Like, there's a major disconnect here, guys. Like, it would almost be better to not pray that prayer before the game if we're going to live like that during the game. Do you know what I'm talking about? Well, my baseball team did the right thing with the wrong motive. Right? Maybe we wanted to be like the Chicago Bulls. I don't know. Yeah, maybe we wanted to be seen. You know, we wanted everybody to think. Maybe it was like a good luck charm. You know, hey, if we huddle up and pray, it might help us win. You know, I don't know what it was. But this morning, the sermon title is just simply this: beware of being right. Beware of being right. I invite you to turn quickly in your Bibles to Luke chapter 11. Luke chapter 11. We'll pick up in verse 37. The sermon title is beware of being right. And I could add to that, unless in being right, you end up being wrong. My baseball team, we were right. We were praying the Lord's Prayer. But as we'll see in this text this morning, we were right, but we were wrong. Luke chapter 11, verse 37. Once you've got it, just hold your Bible up, encourage your pastor. I'll know we're ready to go. Luke, you guys are fast, Bible drillers. Look at that. You would have beat me there had I not already had mine marked. All right, are you ready for this? Luke chapter 7, picking up in Luke chapter 11, picking up in verse 37. While Jesus was speaking, a Pharisee asked him to dine with him. So he went in and reclined at table. The Pharisee was astonished to see that he did not first wash before dinner. And the Lord said to him, "Now you Pharisees cleanse the outside of the cup and the dish, but inside you are full of greed and wickedness. You fools, did not he who made the outside make the inside also? But give as alms to those things that are within, and behold, everything is clean for you. But woe to you Pharisees, for you tithe mint and rue and every herb, and neglect justice and the love of God. These you ought to have done without neglecting the others. Woe to you Pharisees, for you love the best seat in the synagogues and greetings in the marketplaces. Woe to you, for you are like unmarked graves, and people walk over them without knowing it." Would you just bow your heart in prayer this morning and ask the living God who made you to speak to you through this scripture? Father, we pray this morning in your presence, and we pray, speak to us, your children, as we listen to your voice. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, the Pharisees got three things right. They got three things right, and the first thing that they got right was their traditions. Their traditions. Now, traditions are not bad. You probably have traditions in your home. You probably have traditions around your holiday. We have a lot of times traditions. But traditions have a way of finding their way into our minds and hearts in such a way that we almost consider them a, a litmus test of right and wrong. Like, if you don't follow through with the traditions, you're wrong. Well, the tradition that the Pharisees were right in, at least by their own thinking and by their own standard, was having this ritual ceremonial washing before a meal. It wasn't so much to clean their hands, but rather it was more of this sense of we need to kind of have a cleansing of ourselves. And so look at this in the opening verses, verse 38. The Pharisee was astonished to see that he did not wash before dinner. Now, the Pharisees often get a bad rap. A lot of times in the Bible, they're just like looked at as the bad guys. We just so quickly lump the Pharisees as, well, they're the bad guys. Actually, they were like the good guys. I mean, they loved God's word. They memorized God's word. They had great influence, and they were likely known in the community as the holiest people. I mean, these guys were on it, except when they weren't. And so here, this Pharisee has Jesus come over, and they're eating together. There's something special about eating together, isn't there? Sometimes we let our guards down, and we have conversations over a meal that it just slows us down, and they're eating together. And the scripture says this, the Pharisee was astonished to see that he, Jesus, did not first wash before dinner. He was astonished. Now, their tradition in washing before dinner, for us, it wasn't like, you know, go wash up, dinner's being served, right? Like, so we don't get coronavirus as we eat, right? Like, that was not their jam. It was more like, no, you've got to, like, have yourself cleansed. But here's, it was so weird. If they poured water up to their wrist and the water went down their hand, they were clean. But if the water went above their wrist and went down, they were unclean. But because the water trickling over a part of uncleanness on their body, going down on their hands, then they're unclean. You see how devoted they were to like being clean? And Jesus, he knows that they're astonished. And he just speaks straight to their heart. Verse 39, and the Lord said to him, now you Pharisees cleanse the outside of the cup, the dish, but inside you are full of greed and wickedness. So he's talking about what's inside. Well, they got their traditions right, and maybe you've got a lot of traditions, and maybe, you know, you crack the whip and make all the people in your life follow your traditions, but you can have your traditions right and have something else wrong. Well, the Pharisees didn't just have their traditions right, they had their tithing right. They had their tithing right. Look at verse 42 with me. But woe to you, Pharisees. Woe is like this announcement of sadness. Jesus' heart was sad. He was sad that they had all these things right, but the most important thing wrong. And we'll talk about that in just a minute. But he was saying, woe to you, Pharisees. And so he's like this cry of, I'm so sad about your condition, Pharisees. I'm so sad about your condition, Pharisees. And this is interesting that Jesus would be sad about what he says next. For you tithe mint and rue and every herb. I've not met a pastor that's sad about people tithing. You know what I mean? And like, here's Jesus, like they're tithing. And not only are they're tithing like on the exact, like they're not letting anything out. Now a tithe is when we give a tenth of all that we make and own to the Lord. That's what a tithe is. It's 10%. It's giving a tenth to the Lord. And what he was saying is all the way down to their last little herb that they grew. How many of you have an herb box at home? Do you have an herb box? Do you have a garden? How many of you have a garden at home, right? And so imagine this. It's like 10 tomatoes, one tomato, right? 10 stalks of corn, one. 10 little parsley leaves? I mean, the Pharisees were serious about getting their tithe right all the way down to the last little parsley leaf. And what does Jesus say about their tithing? Well, this is what he says. Look back at verse 42. But woe to you, Pharisees. I'm so sad of your condition. Sad about their tithing? Really, Jesus? For you tithe mint and rue and every herb and neglect justice in the love of God. There it is. There it is. Beware of being right unless you end up wrong. In other words, they were right. They were tithing, and they were tithing down to the last little parsley leaf that they had. But they were neglecting the issues of the heart, justice. Where they would see people in need, they would see orphans in need, they would see foster children in need, they would see the poor and they would neglect them. Issues of justice and the love for God. In other words, their tithing was down to the exact parsley leaf, but it wasn't connected to their heart. So what does Jesus say to them? Look at this with me in the text. He says, these you ought to have done. Let me just pause there. We don't talk a whole lot about giving. We do in a little offering moment every day, but it's funny to listen to church people talk about giving because some people are like so determined to argue that tithing is an Old Testament principle, you know, and Jesus came to, you know, it's of the past. We're not to tithe, you know, and I'll just let you deal with what Jesus says about tithing this morning. He looks at the Pharisees and they're like, we tithe down to the last little parsley leaf. And Jesus said, you ought to have done that. You should have done that. Good job, Pharisees. You should not have neglected tithing. So if you want to know what the Bible and what King Jesus, our Lord and Savior, thinks about tithing, he says we should do it. We'll just leave that right there, and you can deal with that. A tenth, that's what Jesus is saying. But here's what Jesus is rebuking them for tithing and neglecting matters of justice and loving God. In other words, he's saying you should tithe to Jesus through the ministry of your church, but don't neglect the poor people when you see them. Don't neglect the needs of your neighbors when you see them. Don't justify not meeting the needs of the community and those people that you bump into all throughout the week just because you're giving to Jesus through the church. No, he's saying do both. Do both. In other words, their giving was right, but it was wrong because it wasn't from their heart. It wasn't from their heart. It was disconnected from their heart. So they were right in their traditions, and they were right in their tithing, and they were right in their church attendance. Look at this in verse 43. Woe to you, Pharisees. He said, Jesus is so sad about their condition. Woe to you, Pharisees, for you love the best seat in the synagogues and greeting in the marketplaces. Have you ever been to a concert where it's like the line lines up before the doors open, you know? It's like your favorite band, and they're on, and you show up an hour early, and you're like already 200 people deep in line. Have you ever done that? I just imagine, you know, it's like the synagogues and the Pharisees, man, they were right there. Front row. We're gonna hear the teaching. We're gonna see the facial expressions of the rabbi. You know, like we're gonna get it all. Like, you know, it's like we're gonna be so dialed into what's going on here. The best seats. The best seats. The right thing, they were in church. The wrong thing, the heart wasn't right. Their heart wasn't right. So the Pharisees, they had all these things right. Their traditions were right. Their tithing was right. Their church attendance was right. But there was one thing that they were wrong about. The Pharisees were wrong in their hearts. And this is God's chief concern about our hearts. Look at verse 39 through 41. We'll just pick it up because he's just hammering home at their hearts about every piece of this. And the Lord said to him, now you Pharisees, cleanse the outside of the cup and of the dish. He's using an image here to describe what's going on in their heart and soul. You cleanse the outside of the cup and of the dish, but inside you're full of greed and wickedness. You're full of greed and wickedness. You're doing all these things right, but inside you're full of greed and wickedness. Have you ever gone to the cupboard about to pour yourself like a bowl of cereal and the washing machine just didn't get it done? And you've got a beautiful dish, but inside you've got, it doesn't usually look this bad, but you know what I'm talking about? Have you ever had that? It's just like whatever the turnip greens were, whatever that dried cereal that, you know, whatever. Maybe you don't have like a dishwasher in your home and your kids, they did not wash all the way and they put it back in the cupboard like that. You ever been there? It's just like gross. You pour the cereal, you gotta go, whoa, you know, I don't want to eat out of that bowl. It's like, or, you know, dried stuff is on the spoon. Well, Jesus said, man, Pharisees, you look beautiful on the outside. In other words, everybody in the synagogue thinks you're awesome and holy, but God sees what's inside. You're giving, you're attending, you've got traditions that keep your family in line, you got rules, but you don't have the heart. And he's like, cleanse the inside and the outside. And then what does he say? What does he say to him to get this right? He says, verse 41, but give alms. What were alms? Alms were food and money for the poor. Give alms, those things that are within, and behold, everything is clean for you. In other words, when your heart is ready to give whatever you have to someone in need, it's evidence your heart's in the right place. You're not stingy. You're not holding back. You just live life with the posture of your heart, open hands, ready to give those that have need. Well, Jesus goes on and he hammers in. Look at verse 42. But woe to you, Pharisees, for you tithe mint and rue and every herb and neglect what? Justice and the love of God. What's coming from the inside, the heart. You ought to have done without neglecting these. You ought to have done without neglecting the others. Verse 43. Woe to you, Pharisees, for you love the best seat in the synagogues and greetings in the marketplaces. Well, why was he sad that they loved those seats? He doesn't say it explicitly. It's implied because they were doing it to be seen. Not because they loved God. They weren't doing it from the right heart. So how does this translate into our reality right now? Well, it could be that you kind of patted yourself on the back for being at church this morning. You know? You could be like, hey, I'm here. Quit bugging me. You know? Like, I'm here. But there wasn't an anthem from your heart praising the God that made you. You're in the building. You attended church, but your heart didn't explode in love for God. And a lot of times we just dismiss it of, I'm not the singing type. Hello, a whole book of Psalms. Like every chapter in the book of Psalms is a song. So it's just like, if you're not going to sing to the Lord, rip the Psalms out of your Bible. Do you know what I'm talking about? Just rip it out and don't read that book. Because the people of God are to be a singing people. And you can even sing without your heart being engaged. Jesus once told the religious leaders, you honor me with your lips, but your hearts are far from me. Well, how else can this, you know, I once knew this Sunday school teacher at a church I grew up in. And he had a big class. And everybody thought he was a great teacher, but he was mean. I know none of you have ever met anybody like that before. He was just mean. And it was just like, that's right, but that's wrong. Beware of being right, lest you also be wrong. I think about kids at school. I think about Christian kids at school who, man, they don't let a cuss word come out of their mouths. Praise God, right? Some of you parents are like, that's right. That's right. Wash them out with soap. They don't let a cuss word come out of their mouths. So they're right in their speech, but they don't go befriend the new kid. And they don't defend the bully, the kid that's being bullied. Do you see that? They're right. They're living right, but they're missing what God wants most. Justice. Love for God. Love for people. Love for those in need. Do you see that, friends? In other words, students, your whole life can be polished to a T. I mean, check the box. I don't do this, and I don't do this, and I don't do this. But do you love the kid that nobody else loves? Do you sit with them? Do you befriend them? Do you include them? That's what Jesus is talking to the Pharisees about. You got all this stuff right, but you got this wrong. And what's wrong is that your heart has no compassion for those that are in need. Where else can we get this wrong? Well, this week as I was studying for the sermon, the Holy Spirit just nailed me on where I get this wrong. And maybe you can relate to this, but it's when you go out to eat and it comes time to, am I going to pray for the meal? And I just kind of have like this thing written into my heart and soul, like, I'm going to pray because I ought to pray. And I want the people that I'm eating with to know, like, we ought to pray. But 9 times out of 10, I pray with my heart totally unengaged. Doing the right thing. Doggone it, I'm going to pray. And everybody at the table is going to know we ought to pray before a meal. And everybody in the restaurant is going to know we're praying before a meal. But God's not going to know I'm praying because my heart's not engaged. You know what? I usually bow my head and I'm like, I'm just rattling off the words because the preacher can do that really easily. And you know what I'm thinking? I sure hope the waitress doesn't come to the table while we're praying. Let me hurry up and get through. Have you been there? Do you experience that battle? doing the right thing, lest you be wrong. And so this week I went and ate at BW3's with Greg Hayes because the Indian restaurant was closed. And we prayed before the meal. And it was such a sweet moment of delighting in God. It just slowed down. And I didn't care who was watching, and I didn't care who was seeing, and I didn't care if the waiter or waitress came to the table while I was praying. I just slowed down, and I thought about what had to happen for that food to get on the table, and I gave God glory. And in my heart, I delighted in the goodness of God for providing the food I was about to put into my mouth, and I enjoyed God in the middle of the day. You know, our mission at Real Life is delighting in God and discipling others. In every meal that we eat, there's an opportunity to pray with our heart delighting in the God who gave us the food. But my confession is I usually pray with my heart totally disconnected because I was committed to doing the right thing in the wrong way. Outward obedience, empty heart. You know what that looks like to God, don't you? Anybody want to come eat at my house this week? We serve most of our meals in these dishes. Not really, but you know what I mean. Back row, can you see that? So, what's at stake? What's at stake with us getting our heart right? What's at stake? Look at verse 44. Woe to you. Do you hear the sadness of our Savior? Woe to you. For you are like unmarked graves, and people walk over them without knowing it. You ever walk through a cemetery, and it's like you don't want to walk on top of the grave, right? You just want to honor what's going on there, you know, and you walk around, and then you realize, oh, crap, like that one's unmarked, or, you know, I didn't see that. The grass has grown over the headstone, and you're, like, doing a dance. Have you ever been like that? I don't want to walk on top of a grave, you know. That's probably our tradition, right? Don't want to do the wrong thing. He says, woe to you, for you're like unmarked graves, and people walk over them without knowing it. In other words, listen. This is hard. But if you're a parent, this is going to help your parenting. If in your home, and if how you raise your kids, you raise them with a strict, rule-based morality that's absent of tender compassion, you're a grave. Because rules and morality leads us to death. And it leads Jesus to say, I'm so sad at the state of those people that obey all the rules from an empty heart. And so if we're parenting really strict and really hard, and we're getting our kids to obey all the rules, but there's not a broken heart and a bubbling up of love for the Lord, then our kids might do exactly what we're telling them to do. But inside, they're a grave, an unmarked grave, and they don't even know it. And as we're leading them, we don't even know it. It's unmarked. We're an open tomb just waiting for our kids to fall in. Do you see that? Do you see it? This is hard. This is so hard. Why? Because it requires us to get our hearts in the right place. In other words, if we're going to shepherd others to the right place, our hearts have to be in the right place. So let me give you three prayers that will help you get your heart in the right place. Whip out your phone, take a snapshot of these as they come up, but three biblical prayers to help us get our heart in the right place. The first is from Psalm 139, verse 23. Search me, O God, and know my heart. So we just ask God, search me. God, search me. Lord, would you search my heart and see if I'm trusting in myself so that I can present myself to you? Lord, would you search my heart to see if I'm trusting in myself to shepherd my family so that I can just present them perfect to you. Lord, search my heart and know my heart, God. Know me. The next prayer we can pray is from Psalm 26:2. Prove me, O Lord, and try me. Test my heart and mind. So Lord, know it and then test it. So the assumption that we're bringing into the presence of God is that, Lord, my heart may not be in the right place. I may know all the rules, but when we say to God, test my heart, we're saying, test it because I might think my heart's in the right place and it may not be right. So I'm inviting you to come in and test my heart to see if my motive is love for you, if my motive is love for other people, if my motive is a broken and tender heart, not the Pharisee's motive, which was self-righteousness. They wanted to be right. They were so obsessed with being right that they were wrong. And the third prayer we can pray is, create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. That's a hope-filled prayer right there, isn't it? That's a prayer of expectation. That's a prayer of expectation that the moment we say, Lord, test my heart. Lord, just show me all the wickedness in my heart. And then it's like, cleanse my heart, God. That's hope-filled right there, isn't it? Cleanse my heart and renew a right spirit within me. It's just three little prayers. And you can go from like a self-righteous Pharisee in like 10 seconds, your heart can move from a self-righteous Pharisee into a broken-hearted, tender-hearted lover of God and people. Doing the right things with the right motives. Isn't that awesome? You may have come in here this morning with the wrong motive. We're going to sing another song this morning, and you can sing it with the right motive. Genuine, heartfelt love for the God that made you and saved you. Now, some of you this morning, you've never prayed that prayer, create in me a clean heart, O God. And maybe this morning you're like, man, I do the wrong things. I don't even do the right things. I don't do the right things with the wrong heart. I do the wrong things with the wrong heart. There's good news. God stands ready to cleanse you. He stands ready to forgive you. And we know that he desires to forgive us and to cleanse us because Jesus went to the cross. The scripture says, for the joy set before him, he endured the cross. Jesus delights in forgiving wicked sinners like you and me. He so delights in it that he died for us in our place. Rose from the dead to give us life. In other words, you don't have to doubt this morning that you can be right before God, that your heart can be right before God. Ezekiel says it this way, the prophet Ezekiel. He says, God will take out your heart of stone and replace it with a heart of flesh. How does that happen? It happens through faith in Jesus by the regenerating Spirit of God. So last week we celebrated on this new land that our church just bought. Glory to God. 850 people came out. It was just the celebration of all celebrations. And 19 people professed their faith in Jesus through baptism. And so maybe, amen, maybe you're here this morning, and for the very first time, you need to ask the Lord to cleanse your heart of your sin, and you need to receive Jesus as your Lord and your Savior. In other words, you need to quit trying to obey God, and you just need to get your heart right with God. And out of a right heart flows right living, right? Not the other way around. So let's get our hearts right with God. Let's watch this video. And as you watch this video from last Sunday, consider if today is your day, if today is your day to have Jesus cleanse your heart from all of its wickedness. Would you do that as we celebrate and watch this video? Amen. Maybe today. Yeah, celebrate. Yeah, celebrate. Thank you, Jesus. Would you just bow your heart in prayer with me? All heads bowed, all eyes closed. And I just want to let you sit in the presence of God just for a moment without any distraction. And maybe the Lord has spoken to your heart today that you need to be cleansed. You need to be forgiven. There's no amount of obedience that you can do that's going to appease God. But Jesus did that for you. And you can rest in his obedience on your behalf. Maybe right now the light bulb is going off for you that you need to be cleansed, and Jesus is the only way. If that's true for you today, would you pray something just silently in your heart, something like this? God, I know you're there. I know I've sinned. I know I need to be cleansed. And I believe Jesus died in my place so that I could be forgiven and washed clean. I believe Jesus rose from the dead to give me eternal life. I need you, Jesus. Be my Lord and save me today. If you prayed that prayer today for the first time, would you just lift your hand high just so I can see it? Nobody's looking around. I want to celebrate with you and pray for you. Don't be afraid. If you prayed that prayer for the first time today, would you just lift your hand high? I see you. I see you, sister. I see you, sister. Three sisters in the house. Anybody else prayed that prayer for the first time today? Lord, I need to be cleansed, and I can't cleanse myself. Anybody? The Lord is a waterfall of forgiving grace. But when we receive his cleansing, we must receive Jesus as Lord. So take him into your heart as your Lord today. Some of you are here this morning, you're like, man, I've just been a walking, breathing, living Pharisee. Pastor, would you pray for me? I've been doing all the right things without the right heart. You just lift your hand. Just say, Lord, Pastor, that spoke to me. I need to get my heart right. I see you, friends. I see you, family of God. I see you. Amen. It hit me this week. Nailed me with the prayer over the table. We're gonna for those of you that prayed to receive Jesus today, this is what I want to ask you to do. Those three sisters that lifted your hand, you prayed to receive Christ. I just want you to write down on that connect card, today I received Jesus as my Lord and Savior. I want to invite you to begin to pray about being baptized. In between these two services today, we're going to have baptism outside. We invite everybody to stay and watch. Let's pray together. Father, we thank you for your amazing love. God, we thank you that when we're living like a Pharisee, it makes your heart sad and you warn us to get our hearts right. And that by your grace, Lord, we can turn to you with a broken heart and you receive us every single time. We love you, King Jesus, and we bless you. It's in his name we pray. Amen.
Thank you for listening. We trust that God is stirring something fresh in your heart today. We hope to see you on a Sunday very soon. Keep it real, keep it Jesus.